Charlie's to the last damn Green Beret.
Well, that's it for the program. We're going to be back after a couple spots from the sponsors with the sports guys. And hope you enjoyed that. I realize it was a little different than my usual law program, but this is a day to honor Vietnam vets, and that's what I was trying to do. So we'll be right back.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's the sports guys. I'm glad, and I'll introduce Bill and his wife Barbara. Got stuck coming here today. I guess they're just back from their boat. And just quickly, I wanted to tell you about the weather. We had some sprinkles up here in Hunterdon County. I don't know what it was like down at the shore. What did you find?
Just a few drops here and there. On the way back, we had about 3 minutes of gentle rain. It's not a bad day out, actually. It's about 60 degrees, not too much wind coming back from the shore, but lots of Friday afternoon traffic, so made it.
Well, tomorrow we have a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy. However, the high is going to be near 70 degrees, so great day to get outside and do something. Saturday night, again, a chance of showers. But, again, we're talking showers this weekend, not heavy rain. Again, Sunday showers likely, mainly before 2 p.m., and then mostly cloudy. Now, the high tomorrow is about 70. By Sunday, about 55 degrees. So there's going to be quite a drop. And I'm so glad that Bill got back because I know one of the things that we'll have to talk about is baseball, since it started yesterday. So, Bill, what's your favorite topic for today?
Well, I want to talk about baseball and its history and a little bit of its the passion that so many of us still have for baseball. Now, we are bombarded with sports these days, one after another after another. And if you go to a baseball game, whether it's major league or minor league, it seems like everything is going on to distract you from the game except the game itself sometimes. Baseball is still a game of four balls, and you walk to first, three outs, and the other team gets to bat. It's played on a field. It's played, hopefully, no longer in the sunshine all the time, but very often at night. But baseball has a special place in American history, as you know.
But when did the Cubs first start playing at night? Because remember, they did not play night games forever and ever because they were in a neighborhood in Chicago.
Where they couldn't get the zoning to put up lights.
I don't know if they couldn't get the zoning, but I know that the neighbors, at least they didn't, whether it was the zoning or something else.
I don't know the answer to that question, Pat, but I think that the Cubs finally got lights at night in 1970. At Wrigley Field. I've never been to Wrigley Field. It's on my bucket list. I've been to an awful lot of ballparks, but Wrigley Field's one that's escaped me. But, you know, I wanted to talk a little more about baseball. Baseball has wonderful lore, wonderful stories. You know, whether you go to the movies or you put one on or you stream one, you can always find a baseball movie. And people have been making movies about baseball since they began to make movies. Whether you want to talk about the kid, whether you want to talk about some of the wonderful movies that we've had recently, such as in recent history, about 20 years ago, A League of Their Own, the wonderful Women's Baseball League, with a great movie with Gina Davis and Madonna, Tom Hanks, and John Lovitz.
And, of course, that was during World War II, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
When women's baseball became really very popular because everybody wanted sports, and so many of the players, professional league players, were in
drafted.
Service.
That's right. You had players like Ted Williams with his excellent eyesight being a fighter pilot. You had Hank Greenberg, who went off to war and later went back to playing first base for the Detroit Tigers. You had DiMaggio, who marched off to war as well. And President Roosevelt, when right after Pearl Harbor was bombed, was asked in February, are we going to shut down baseball? And he said, absolutely not. FDR loved baseball, loved to go watch games and listen to them on the radio. He did not have a favorite team, he claimed, because he was such a politician. His favorite team depended upon whoever he was meeting. But baseball continued. It was the only time the St. Louis Browns won a World Series was 1944 because they managed to have players that didn't get drafted.
Well, that's because they had a midget and a one-armed player.
That's right. But that came a little later in Browns history, and the Browns later moved to Baltimore and became the Baltimore Orioles. You know, we've had organized baseball leagues ever since General Abner Doubleday came back from the Civil War and codified the baseball rules. We had the Cincinnati Redlegs, now the Cincinnati Reds, that started in 1879. We had the Beaners, which turned into the Boston Red Sox many years later. We had the New York Highlanders, who played at Polo Grounds, who later moved across the east, the Bronx River to become the Harlem River to become the New York Yankees. And we've had some very interesting things happen. There's a whole culture around baseball in small towns. And you go to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, you can go to the Eastern Shore Baseball Museum, where every little town and every oyster shucking and processing factory had their own team.
Well, actually, also in the Midwest, you're absolutely right. Every small town And usually it was Legion baseball for those guys who, you know, had finished high school. Legion baseball was, you know, probably the biggest thing going in most of the small towns.
Well, I remember playing CYO baseball because after
Catholic youth.
Oh, yes. and the guy who was our manager was Father Bischoff, and he made sure that if a Jewish kid wanted to play CYO ball or a Protestant kid, that they got to play. He was a nice man. But I digress. baseball has a wonderful history of art, literature, and even poetry. On my office wall hangs a lithograph wall. It is 199 of 200 by a guy named Andy Jurinko. And Andy Jurinko specialized in lithographs of baseball from the 60s. And when I look at my lithograph of Yankee Stadium, I see Mickey Mantle at the bat. He has just released his very powerful swing. Early Wynn is pitching for the White Sox. Tom Tresh, who was supposed to replace Mantle and never quite did, is dancing off first. It's July, the sun is shining, and I can smell the hot dog sometimes when I look at that picture. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about some deep, dark baseball history. Nope, not nine men out. The White Sox scandal, where they threw the World Series, not Denny McLain, who won 30 games and then went to prison for 6 years for tax evasion, among other things. Not all the problems with drugs or huge salaries like the Phillies just gave to Bryce Harper. Very exciting. But, you know, tonight the Yankees have won yesterday. The Phillies won yesterday, although they pitched around Bryce Harper. They batted him third.
Cubs won.
And the Cubs won, and fortunately, the Red Sox lost. Sorry about that, John. I hope it's the first of many. But, you know, baseball's history is very rich, and it goes. The most famous baseball poem, of course, is Casey at the Bat, which was written in 1888. So we're talking about a poem that's over 130 years old. It was written by Ernest Thayer and first published in the San Francisco Examiner, then called the Daily Examiner, on June 3rd, 1888, and later popularized by an actor named DeWolf Hopper in many vaudeville performances. And the poem is the subject of a couple of films, including some very nice Disney cartoons. And it is filled with many references to baseball in 1888, many ways not far removed from today's version.
Well, Bill, let me ask you something. My understanding is that when baseball started, there was the field was laid out in one way in Boston and another way in New York. And if you really go back to that history when they were kind of inventing baseball, we are now playing, or the fields are now looking like the New York fields. But you have any information on that? I mean, who would have ever thought? I just learned that fairly recently.
Well, way back when, before they standardized the rules and before they really formed leagues, good players would barnstorm. They would be paid a certain amount of money per game by whoever owned the team. And they would, it was usually the people who owned the team also owned a brewery. And this was a way to sell beer on Saturdays and Sundays, which in many towns across America back in the 1870s and 80s had temperance leagues and therefore blue laws and prohibitions against drinking. So baseball became associated with a lot of breweries, just like the Green Bay Packers were associated with a packing plant maybe 50 years later. But the Yankees were not a very good team until they were brought by Jake Rupert, who owned a brewery. And because his team did very poorly, he was on the lookout for some good players. And, of course, the Boston Red Sox had a wonderful pitcher and outfielder who could really hit by the name of George Herman Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth played for the Red Sox, a team then owned by Harry Frazee. And Harry Frazee had a problem. He was married to a very wealthy woman, and he was running the Red Sox, which was his sort of personal project, and she owned all the stock in the team. And Harry was having in a relationship with a young lady who wanted to be in a play called No No Nanette in Boston on the boards, not on the field. And he needed to keep this from his wife, so Harry needed to get some money. And he didn't quite know what to do. And the thought occurred to him that he would sell Babe Ruth services to his friend Jake Rupert in 1921, because Ruth had pitched the Red Sox to a World Series. So suddenly, the Babe has been traded to the Yankees, where he became even more of a legend and went down in history as the man who ate 29 hot dogs and then went out and went 4-for-4 against the White Sox. But Babe Ruth became a Yankee, and Harry Frazier got to put his girlfriend in No No Nanette without his wife realizing it. But I digress again. The most famous baseball comic.
Yes, you do digress again.
It is Freeform Radio today, Pat. And I'm going to read you Casey at the Bat from June of 1888. Gives you a sense of baseball. So here we go. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, with but one more inning to play. And then when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope that springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could get but a whack at that, they'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake, and the former was a Lulu and the latter was a fake. So upon the stricken multitude, grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted and the men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second and Flynn a hug in third. And then from 5,000 throats and more, there rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley, and it rattled in the dell. It knocked upon the mountains and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. And then while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye. A sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered spear came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it, oh, in a haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. From benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of the storm waves upon a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire," shouted someone in the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the spheroid flew. But Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two." "Fraud!" cried the maddened crowds, and echo answered fraud. No one but one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is gone from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Very poem. Good. Wonderful poem and wonderful rendition.
Thank you.
Very, very, you know, what Casey would have been hoping for is what happened to the Brewers. I don't know if you watched that game or heard about it.
No, I didn't know. What happened to the Milwaukee Brewers?
Well, the Brewers were 5-4 winning against the St. Louis Cardinals. And in the ninth inning, and I don't know who hit the ball, but the fielder, his name is Kane, went after the ball, and it would have gone over the top of the wall, but it was an amazing catch. It's one of those catches that they will, you know, look at for a long, long time. And so the St. Louis Cardinals would have, I think they would have tied it up. I don't think anyone was on base. But apparently it was just an absolute amazing catch. And so all baseball fans, you know, there were a couple really interesting games that first day. You know, the opening, apparently, Derek, I think his name is Derek Diedrich, pinch hitter for the Cincinnati Reds, hit a three-run homer of three runs, brought three runs in. So, you know, that had to be a really exciting game. And I guess for baseball fans, it's just the fact that, you know, baseball started yesterday. Can you imagine?
Baseball time already.
It is baseball time. Interestingly, and of course, another historical fact, of course, is, and I know you can answer this, is why we have so many players today from the Dominican Republic. Well, I mean, most Latin American countries, remember, most Latin American countries, it's all soccer, soccer, soccer.
Well, you know, the Dominican Republic has become something of a baseball factory, and their principal exports, as I understand it, are cigars, rum, and baseball players.
And do you know why?
Because it is their one way off the island for a young man, number one. And number two, there are baseball camps all over, and Roberto Clemente, late of the Pittsburgh Pirates, helped establish a lot of those camps.
But actually, the interesting thing, if you think about it, you know, there are a lot of islands, there are a lot of Central American countries. Why Dominican Republic? And you'd have to ask my husband, the historian, because what he would tell you is that because there were American bases in the Dominican Republic, and the kids started watching the soldiers, maybe bases, might have been Navy bases, but in any event, they introduced baseball to the Dominican Republic, and then it just caught on. And then you had people like Clemente, who was such a star and so revered in the Dominican Republic. So now, you know, every kid who possibly can plays baseball.
It's a wonderful thing to go to a baseball game in a foreign country, I have to say. Baseball is now is a very popular sport in Japan. It was even in the 30s before the war.
You know, but after the Second World War, again, there were so many American soldiers in Japan, and they played baseball. And it frankly, the places that are it's most popular, the influence came from the United States.
But you know, Babe Ruth, Gehrig, and I believe even Cy Young and Ty Cobb all barnstormed for extra money in Japan in the 30s, early 30s.
Really?
And it became popular there. What's very interesting is that I understand that they have leagues in Australia. Baseball's played in Taiwan. In fact, a Taiwanese Little League team won the Little League World Series. Baseball is not played that much in Europe, but it is played in Holland. And the Yankees' injured-list shortstop, Didi Gregorius, is from the Netherlands, and his family is from Aruba. And apparently
really?
In the Netherlands, they play a good deal of baseball, probably because Americans brought it there from the war. But in Aruba, when my wife and I were there last May, we drove past one baseball diamond after another. So apparently baseball season there is simultaneous with hurricane season. It starts in September or October and goes on through the winter, to the extent they have winter that far south.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it winter. But why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break so we can hear from some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back and, I guess, talk some more baseball. Football is kind of, you know, we're waiting
for the draft.
We're waiting for the draft. I don't know if you have any comments about the combine, but in any event, we'll be back after a few messages from our sponsors.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113. Or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, we're back on the air, the sports guys. I think we're talking baseball today because it just started baseball season, and I know all of the people who in Florida or go down to Florida, the snowbirds who are still there, are sorry to see that we've started baseball the season, because many of them go to, you know, watch the games down there. In fact, it's amazing to me. I've seen a few of the games on television, and the stands are full. I mean, absolutely full. And, of course, I guess it's an easy way to watch a game and see some of the up-and-coming young players and also do it for a reasonable price. I think that's one of the problems that I see is, you know, who can afford to take their kids to a lot of baseball games?
Well, that's a tough thing, you know. You need almost a second mortgage to go watch a baseball game these days. You're going to watch Major League Baseball. If you're going to a minor league game, go. It's very, very reasonable. We just came through Trenton on our way back from the shore, and we went past the Trenton Thunder Stadium.
Yeah, isn't that a nice stadium?
They're playing tonight. It's a great stadium. It's a good place to watch a ball game.
And easy to get in and out of. You just can go down Route
29. Yeah.
And when I go to the shore, I always go that way also. But I find it, and the few times that I've been there, it's really fun. Although today what I find both at the Patriots Stadium and at the, in Trenton is they've got a lot of other stuff going on. I guess they feel they need to do that in order to keep the kids interested.
It is. It is. And, you know, it's interesting. When you watch a minor league game, you're not just seeing tomorrow's stars today. You're also seeing the guys who get sent down to rehab, or they come off an injury. They play a couple games there. I remember when Derek Jeter was playing for the Yankees, maybe next to the last year. He had been injured. He had been down in Tampa rehabbing, and they wanted him to get a couple of at-bats and play a few games to get his rhythm back before he went up to play in the Bronx again. So he played four games with the Trenton Thunder, and the stadium was packed. And Jeter played shortstop. He had a couple of hits. He played a great game. I'm sorry I didn't get to go to it. We were away at the time. But
how did people find out? Did they advertise that he was going to play?
The Yankees announced it, that they were sending him for a rehab assignment to Trenton, just like they occasionally sent people to their AAA affiliate in Wilkes-Barre Scranton, which they call the Rail Riders, another nice ballpark. Unfortunately, I've not been there, but hopefully this summer we'll get to go there. Another place I'd like to go and I have not been is Cooperstown up in New York, the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's always a wonderful summer trip. You get to see some a beautiful small town. They do have a nice baseball field and a tremendous museum. So when we have baseball on the brain and we are infested with baseball and we're also being handed chocolates, I think.
Oh, these are really good.
They snuck right in, I'm sure. I'm sure they should get passed around. Here you go. But what could be better than baseball, except for chocolate? I don't know about you, Pat, but chocolate is my drug of choice and my downfall. So go right ahead, Pat. Let's talk about baseball growing up in the Midwest.
Well, you know, obviously for us, now I'm going to chew on chocolate. You know, football has always been my sport of choice. You know, I was a swimmer, so other than that, you know, I always enjoyed football more than baseball. But on the other hand, we watched baseball all summer. As I said, we had American Legion teams, and there was always one kid in probably every town who thought that he could make it to the majors. And frankly, with better coaching, might have. But I had a friend who was a phenomenal pitcher. I mean, he really was. But, you know, he never got beyond American Legion. And then, you know, the other thing is it was all the guys that would, you know, go to watch baseball and, of course, baseball and beer. I didn't realize that there was not a connection between baseball and beer when I grew up.
Well, you know, growing up out here, baseball was played all the time, usually pickup games by children and sometimes by grown-ups. And when I got into high school, I played in a couple of the summer leagues. And then when I got into college, we used to play on a field in Philadelphia just behind Pat's Cheesesteaks, South Philly. It was a great place to play ball, probably the hardest infield.
Was it
I've
also Pat's and Geno's? Have the
Pat's
two
and Geno's
always
were
been there?
Within eyesight. In fact, you could look at the back of Pat's Cheesesteaks from it was right behind left field.
I know where that
right field
is.
Yeah. And there was a men's league used to play there Sunday mornings. But when I would come home up here to visit my folks, we would have co-ed softball games. And some of the young women were great athletes. There was a young woman I went to high school with who had come back from wherever she was going to college.
Oh, you can't beat the pejorative, but the women's softball in Wisconsin, you got a lot of these German farm girls, and believe me, I was a pretty good athlete. I could never have played, you know, on one of those teams. Now, what we did do in grammar school is every recess, or almost every recess, the girls would play softball on their, you know, we had separate playgrounds, so the girls would play softball on the playground, and the boys would play either softball or baseball. And what was the other thing that we called that with the little bat, not stickball that they played in New York, but there was a little bat and a little ball. That was another favorite game when we didn't have a lot of space. Do you know what that was called?
Pardon? No, I don't.
It was a little bat and a little ball. It wasn't stickball. Now,
wiffle
I often...
ball, not wiffle ball.
No, it wasn't wiffle ball.
Wiffle ball was fun to play. Just like stickball, and if you played on the city streets in New York, where I played both in the Bronx and in Brooklyn, depending on where my grandfather, my aunt and uncle were living, when we would play with a pink ball called a spalding and a broom handle. And a manhole cover in the center of the street was always... second base, and the cars were bases, and occasionally you'd have to break up the game because a car would come through or the police would come by and say, somebody had complained, boys, go play someplace else. I guess it's sort of like when your mother tells you to go play in traffic because
you're tired. Well, you know, it's very interesting because I had never heard of stickball. Honestly, I never heard of stickball. Maybe it was played in the cities in the Midwest. I'm not so sure. I think that was really a New York game. Did you also play it in Philadelphia?
I never played stickball in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, there are a tremendous number of parks. Plus, I was also a college student, so it was easy for me to find a place to play. Philadelphia has a tremendous amateur baseball tradition. I had a friend whose dad played for the South Philly Hebrew Athletic Association baseball team, the Philadelphia Svaz, and he was their catcher, and he was very proud of it. But he played in the 1930s, went off to the Pacific to fight the war when he was drafted. Came back, played more baseball, met his wife, got married, had kids, and stopped playing when he was about 50. And he was quite pleased with himself. Another baseball player that I met on this field in South Philly was a somewhat older man who always liked to pitch, and I never knew who it was. And then fast forward about 20 years later, I walk into the United States Third Circuit Court of Appeals, and there he is on the bench.
Really?
And I had to argue in front of him. Judge Leon Higginbottom, a very, very good pitcher. And even though at the time he was about 50 and playing in these games, and I was a 20-year-old college student, he wanted to pitch.
Well,
and
he was a well-respected jurist, that's for sure.
He was a very, very talented, good judge, and he had been on the Philadelphia County bench. You can't say he was a bench warmer because he played every game. And then he got older, and they gave him the robe, and maybe you could call him a bench warmer then. But Judge Higginbottom was on the three-judge panel when I argued in front of the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals at 4th and Market Street in Philadelphia. So, you know, and I don't think he recognized me. Because if he did, he probably would have knocked me down. He had a really vicious hanging curve that really broke. He's gone now, but he was a real fan of baseball. And up in Germantown, a place where Germantown Friends Church had a whole series of leagues, that part of Germantown was where a lot of people of a Quaker faith lived, and they enjoyed playing baseball because they regarded as a healthful, pleasant activity, and they would have ice cream socials Sunday nights at their churches in Germantown. And if you were a young person and playing in one of the Germantown leagues, where I lived for about a year and a half, they had pickup games, and they would supply the umpiring and the field, and you went and had a good time. I think we're missing something now with baseball becoming, for young people, so organized and regimented and travel teams. And we have a wonderful facility here that, you know, Diamond Nation here in Flemington, great place. But you have to wonder, with all the adult supervision and the great equipment and the great fields that we play on, and the coaching and the training and the dieting and the exercising, are we missing something? Have we lost something about the childish pleasure in the game?
Well, actually, it just brought to mind, I lived on the edge of a very small town, and we actually built a baseball field.
Oh, for your family to play on.
We all played on it, and it was actually, it was, when I think about it, it was property that belonged to the town. Nobody ever said anything. I mean, it was not only the baseball field, but a dugout. I mean, the guys built the dugout, and we played ball all the time. I mean, all the time.
Oh, we would play from on Saturdays and Sundays. We would play from about 9:30, 10 o'clock until lunchtime, and everybody would ride their bikes home and eat lunch, and then we would come back about 2 o'clock and play to 5.
Well,
and
guys,
for dinner.
What this shows is, you know, at least in my town, there was no Little League. And interestingly, it meant that they needed, in order to have enough players, they really needed to have the girls play. We never really thought about the fact that baseball was a boys' sport, because in the small town, we played all of the sports. Now, we couldn't play tackle football in school, but the other things, now, of course, going to a parochial school, they had the girls' playground and the boys' playground, but that was the only reason why during school we didn't play ball with the guys, and we certainly did in the neighborhoods. And but you're right, there was no such thing as Little League, which meant that basically there was no discrimination against the girls.
That's right, and anybody could play. And there was no real adult supervision other than occasionally the police would drive by to be sure nobody was doing anything they shouldn't have done or shouldn't be doing. And it was basically, just golden hours, limited only by the need to go home for lunch and dinner and get your chores done. And it was kind of a very sweet, pleasant thing to do. And I'll tell you that sitting here now looking back at it 50-plus years, the things that I miss are catching that line drive in the glove, the sound, the feel of the ball hitting the pocket of the glove, making that throw from third to first where the ball would sort of rise and sail a little bit as it spun and then into the first baseman's mitt. The other thing I always loved was batting and watching the curveball come to the place where I had anticipated and had begun to swing the bat through and getting that fat part of the bat, the meat of the bat, right on that ball and really smacking it over the head.
Well, since we're being nostalgic, the one thing I was always pleased if I could make it home with only grass stains on my Levi's instead of a nice hole, because my mother never could understand why a girl would slide or, slide into base or, I would get pretty banged up sometimes.
Well, if you were wearing a skirt, it was not a good idea.
No. In school, we had to wear skirts. Not, of course, when we played.
Well, maybe that's why people home. From Scotland don't play baseball. They can't slide in those kilts. You got to wonder about that. That's why they probably invented golf. They didn't have baseball. And I feel sorry for them. But they can come here and play and organize a game in Glasgow or Aberdeen. Pat, let me ask, you have a brother. Did he play baseball as a kid?
And I'm trying to remember if by... I don't think they had Little League. I think he did the same thing that we did, which was, certainly in the summer. Now, I was a big swimmer, so I would... We had to take a bus. We actually had a school bus that went from my town to another town so we could go swimming. But between swimming and baseball and everything else, we just lived outside. But it is interesting how that difference, and I'm sure that my mentality as a result of not having boys' Little League, was really different. I know... one of our daughters was the first one who played, and I don't remember if it was Little League or whatever it was, maybe even before the kids were old enough for Little League. And she was one of the first girls that played. And very, very surprising to me. But and by that time, the boys had it ingrained that girls did not play baseball.
Well, it's interesting. Here in Hunterdon County... I had the benefit of speaking with a number of people when I was in my 20s and 30s, and they were in their 70s and their 80s, and they would talk about the baseball leagues here in Hunterdon County, and each town had a couple of teams, and they would usually use the American Legion fields or the high school fields in the summer to play baseball. And they would play Wednesday nights and Saturday nights while school was out. In fact, a lawyer you and I both know, who's gone now, Wesley Lance, fancied himself a very good pitcher and a very good hitter, and he played for Glenn Gardner and then Clinton Township and then went off to war and was in the Navy on what was called a Jeep carrier, he told me. And the one thing he treasured was being at sea and playing catch on a heaving deck of an aircraft carrier while it was going somewhere.
Well, Bill, let's not wax nostalgic for a few minutes, and let's see what our sponsors have to say, because we're going to be winding down soon.
Good. Hit the money button, Pat.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Alrighty, so we're back, and it's the sports guys, and since we've been talking baseball, who do you think are the up-and-comers?
Well, I like the Phillies this year. They certainly muscled up with Andrew McCutchen and Bryce Harper, a great ball player who I never thought would land with the Phillies. But a guy I think we really ought to start watching is JT Realmuto. He is a Latino catcher who the Phillies got from the Marlins, and I think Derek Jeter, who now is the president of the Marlins, made a mistake letting them go because Realmuto is an excellent catcher. He cut down Nick Markakis, a former Oriole player now playing for the Braves, at second base with a perfect throw to Phillies' new shortstop, Gene Segura. Without that play, Nola's three walk second inning could have been a whole lot worse. With a score tied at one in the top of the fourth, Juan Segura got the first of his two infield singles and advanced to second on a throwing error. He then made it to third on a wild pitch, and then when Harper and Hoskins both struck out, Realmuto drew a two-out walk, setting up consecutive RBI signals from Odubel Herrera and Cesar Hernandez. I think that this catcher is a really underrated guy. He's somebody to watch if you're a Phillies fan or if you just like watching a good catcher who handles pitchers well. Bryce Harper has stolen all the headlines. He's a great ball player, nothing to be taken away from him. But anybody who makes $330 million as a free agent over the next 13 years has got to be an awfully good ball player, and he certainly was with the Washington Nationals, and I was surprised when he elected free agency and they couldn't sign him. So he's certainly exciting. The Phillies have now sold 100,000 more tickets this year.
Really?
And they sold out opening day yesterday when they beat the Braves 7-4. Atlanta is a decent team, although I don't know anybody to watch there. I'll tell you who I like on the Mets, and that's a guy by the name of Wilton Ramos, an infielder, good ball player, and Ramos is certainly going to help the Mets this year. Additionally, the Mets have already shown that they're one of the teams that can really put the fun in dysfunctional. Ramos is actually, I take that back, a catcher. I am very keen on how he handles pitchers. And the Mets have, as you know, two great pitchers, DeGraw and Syndergaard. Syndergaard they call Thor because of his curly blonde locks. And DeGraw is an excellent pitcher, as is Syndergaard. I was surprised that the Mets were able to retain them, pleasantly surprised. You know, I love New York baseball as much as Philadelphia baseball. And I am very much interested in seeing how these guys progress and how they handle things.
Well, and of course, it's so important that they don't get injured. And I think that's the one thing, certainly in football, maybe somewhat less in baseball, you know, because there's so many more games to play in baseball. But all you need in football is a couple really good players injured, and you know, it made such an impact on the team and the game.
Oh, yeah, and down in D.C., a very interesting thing with the Mets playing the Nationals. Wilson Ramos, the catcher who I just described, playing for the Mets, had an excellent view of an interesting play. Washington's Anthony Rendon hits a slow roller off to third base. Jeff McNeil made it to Robinson Cano at second for a force out, which lured Victor Robles back to third momentarily. And then he starts running. Huge mistake. In this case, it was a gigantic mistake because as Robbie Cano was receiving the ball from McNeil, he was daring Robles to run with his eyes. The catch and throw arrived in an eye blink in Mets catcher Ramos's glove with Robles. The Nationals' gifted rookie center feet barely 30 feet down the line. So he was as dead as a doornail. They caught him in a rundown, and out he went. And the Mets' precious 1-0 lead was safe for another inning, and Jake DeGrom pointed at Cano, really wanting to hug him. The Mets' dugout exploded in thunder, not caring that the season was only 3 weeks old. So, you know, exciting baseball being played. You know, baseball is not just sitting there and being entertained by the scoreboard. There really is a lot of drama in baseball, particularly when there are runners on base and the defense is trying to get a couple outs to help the pitcher. Pat, we're just about out of time. My watch says it's 6 o'clock. We're going to be going into reruns soon.
Well, I guess they're going to be taking over shortly.
Very good. So, folks, let me wish you all a great weekend. Get up off that couch. Go have a great time out in the cloudy but rapidly warming up day tomorrow. We know the weather is going to get a little bit colder after Sunday. I'm very tempted to take a day in the sunshine, but I think it's going to be cloudy tomorrow, and we might even get a chance of rain. Pat, what are you going to do this weekend? Do you have sports in your schedule?
Actually, no. We're going to do some stuff with some former Peace Corps volunteers, and then, unfortunately, I'm going to have to spend most of Sunday working.
Well, I'm planning on doing that, too. I took today off, but I've got a pile when I show up at my office tomorrow afternoon, and I'll be blazing through that and Sunday trying to keep everybody in line. It's a tough thing to do, Pat, when you're a Hunterdon County lawyer. It's a difficult job sometimes.
Well, we'll see you all next week, and hopefully our compadre, John, will be back.
Bob Simon as being everything I ever wanted to be.
Bob Simon was 73. I'm Shelley Adler.
A rookie New York City police officer is pleading not guilty to a series of charges related to the shooting of an unarmed black man.